praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back. Revelation chapter 2 now. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. So who was that angel? Amen. And please, this is one study that theologians all agree that the star, and take notes, let me emphasize this also, that the stars, they were in the right hand of who? Jesus. See the way Jesus introduced himself in chapter 2 verse 1. He said, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, this thing said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. First and foremost, candlestick is something that bears light. But take note, and if the candlesticks are the church, take note that they did not say silver, gold, silver candlesticks. It didn't say bronze candlestick. It didn't say wood candlesticks. It said what? Golden candlesticks. That is, the church before God were as precious as gold. Praise the Lord. And why does it gold reflect deity? Because it is only gold that can never lose her identity. And gold can only be purified when it passes through fire. And so that lets you know that the true church of Jesus Christ will undergo fire. The fire of persecution, the refiner's fire, that will refine you in such a way that complete deity will be seen in you. And then, he that holdeth the seven stars, amen, in his right hand. Take note that those stars, every star, a star only gives her light in darkness. Am I correct? So you won't be talking about a star messenger until there is darkness. So the star comes to show for the light, to show you, to lead you to where the light is. The star has no light of her own because it is in the right hand of Christ himself, the light of God. Hallelujah. All that the light that they are shining is the same light they have received from he that holds them in the right hand. So they can say nothing. And remember, he is the one that is in the midst of the candlesticks. And there were not three. It's only him. We didn't see Father there. We didn't see Holy Ghost. We only saw Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the only one. It was only one we saw moving. But this day, there are three moving in the church. No. According to the Bible, in the seven church ages, there will be only one. Only him. Take note of that also, so that you understand what we are going to say. Praise the Lord. Only one walking in their midst, and he is the light giver. Amen. So they will reflect the light from where they receive the light. They have no light of their own. Take note. Every star you see in the night receives light from the sun. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, who is the church angel? Who is this angel? And we know that we all agree a star. And even though there may be other stars, in the night, there will be other stars. Praise the Lord. There are other stars. The Bible says, wise men from the east, they saw a particular star. Amen. Not that they saw, but they identified. It's actually because they were seeing all the stars. But they identified a particular star that from their study, that when such a star appears, it's not an ordinary star. Amen. And so there were other stars in that first church age, known as the Ephesian church age, because it is named after that local church, Ephesus, that first received the message. So we all agree, and they all agree, theologians, that it is Apostle Paul. And how do we know it's Apostle Paul? Let's just read some scriptures to confirm it is Paul and not other person. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Amen. See something. It's the language used here that I want to call our attention. He's writing a letter to the church in Galatia, and this is how he introduces himself. Paul. That is telling you this letter is from Paul, an apostle. Then he added, not of men, neither by man. Number one, because all the apostles, we are called directly by Jesus himself. That means for Paul to say not of men, it means there are apostles that are appointed by men. Hallelujah. He says, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. That is why he is also among the apostles. He said, hallelujah. If you go to, let me see some other verses there. Verse 10. He said, for do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? That was after he boasted in verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9 that if anyone preaches any other gospel contrary to what he has preached, let that person be accursed. That must be a man of authority. So he's now telling you the basis, the base for his authority, the foundation of his authority. For do I now persuade men of God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. So if your ministry is a ministry, you do it to please men rather than God, you are a servant of the man that you are working to please. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. He said, it's not man that taught me. For I never received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself was the one that taught him. For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. I profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. See? To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But others of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now, he said, confidently, the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, he said, I lie not. And see chapter 2. He went further. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run and had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And if you read further, praise the Lord. He went, let me finish that. Which verse am I in? Verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. They added nothing to me. But contrarywise, that's where I'm going. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is the Gentiles who are not circumcised, Jews are known as the circumcision. Gentiles are the uncircumcision. So there is a gospel that went to the circumcision, and there's the gospel that went, the ministers that went to the uncircumcision. But contrarywise, verse 7, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. So who was the gospel to the Gentile committed unto? Apostle Paul, and he said it. As the gospel of the circumcision was also committed unto Peter. For he that wrote effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And he was so sure of the gospel that if you read further, Peter was pretending somehow. Peter was with the Gentiles, because already Peter caught the revelation from Acts chapter 10 in the house of Cornelius. That is how God let Peter know that now, nothing special again, no. The same spirit you receive, I've given it also to the Gentiles. And so he knew. But because he was afraid of the Jews, when he was with the Gentiles, they were just eating and, you know, as brethren. But as soon as he saw those Jews coming, hey, he do like say, I'm not there with them. And Apostle Paul saw it and rebuked him sharply for doing that. That tells you the authority that Apostle Paul had. So, he was the first church age messenger. Hallelujah. And that is the same pattern that will be used in picking the remaining 6 star messengers. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change his pattern of doing things. And if we believe that, then, if it's after Apostle Paul, the next person that will be picked must be the closest person in ministry to that of Apostle Paul in that age. That is the pattern that is used to choose all the remaining 6 church ages. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Just as the same way too, for you to identify the true church. Listen very well. To identify the true church in this age is not the identity, it's not the sermon books of William Branham they are carrying. The bride of Jesus Christ in this age is not identified by a sermon book of any man. So much until the only way they accept that you are in the end time message is if you are preaching and constantly mentioning and quoting and making reference to William Branham. So much until some to let you know that they are the ones in the message. They only play the tapes of William Branham, who died in 1965. To come for service like this, they play the tape, they collect the offering, they sing and worship for 30 minutes according to the COD by William Branham. And then they dismiss and they send all the tithes to the pastor. The service is over. No. The true church must be, there must be a standard that you will use to identify it. Just as we have the standard for a star messenger, the true church of Jesus Christ was born on the day of Pentecost. If you want to know the true church, now to identify a true church, go to the Acts of Apostles, the church in action. That is how you will know whether this is a true church or not. Compare it with what happened in the Bible. There was power. There was healing. There was deliverance. Hallelujah. There was a move of the Spirit. Amen. So it's not about you. And what William Branham came to do was not to give us a sermon book. He came to restore us to the apostolic faith. Come to restore us to apostolic faith. Oh, praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I must not forget the characteristics of Paul's ministry that we shall use in judging all other star messengers. Number one, Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. He was absolutely true to the word. He stayed with the scripture. That's why he could tell you, if anybody preach any other thing contrary, say even if he says anything contrary. So he had a standard. Because he said, the things that he taught, they were the commandments of the Lord. So how can he come and change a commandment of the Lord? Hallelujah. Number two, he was not, he did not establish any organization. Hallelujah. He was led by the Holy Ghost in everything that he did. Praise the Lord. That's why he boasted. He said he was an apostle, not of men and not by man. And so it was they were moving only as the Holy Ghost was moving him. So that is why you will not see the headquarters of Apostle Paul. You will not see him appointing and disappointing and promoting and sending people to work for him. He didn't have that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Number three. Amen. His ministry was in the power of the Spirit. Demonstrating, hallelujah, the spoken word and the word of God. He was demonstrating it in power. In power. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. That's the way he put it. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, he said, I came not with excellency of speech. Ha! I don't know what these motivational speakers will interpret. I don't know how they will interpret what Apostle Paul is saying here. When they will come with feigned words, and they will be speaking with sweet mouth. After that, the person that came with headache will go with his headache. The person that is bound by a witch will go more in bondage than before. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. The testimony of God is not declared with excellency of sweet mouth. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. The evidence that he was an apostle. So that all these people in the end time message who claim that they are apostles, even when the Bible lets us know clearly there can't be any apostle now. Verse 12. It says, truly, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Truly, he said, the signs of an apostle. That is, an apostle has signs. We are wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So Apostle Paul was known for power until handkerchief from his pocket was casting out spirits wherever it went to. And number four, he had the evident fruit of the God-given ministry. He had the evidence that God has called him. And he boasted that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. He boasted that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. He boasted that also in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2. I call those scriptures again. 2 Corinthians 12, 11. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 2. And 2 Corinthians again 11 verse 2. Praise the Lord. If you say you are an apostle, he says you are. He had evident fruit. He boasted. He said he didn't go where Christ has already been mentioned. He didn't go where Christ had already been mentioned. He went virgin land. Went to Ephesus. So many gods there. When he landed there, anywhere he landed, there will be revival. Praise the Lord. Not enter message apostles who are jumping from church to church. I said they are apostles. And meanwhile, they have no pattern to even follow. When I was in my former church, there was one that was moving up and down. Anytime he came to visit us, we'll be acting as if God has come. The way the man packaged himself, where? Oh my. When he came, it was my house he was staying. When he come like this, we are uncomfortable because his spirituality was too high for we carnal one. Yes, don't even knock the door to ask whether you eat breakfast because you may be cutting him off. I said, this man must be a very great man. No, you know who I'm talking about, Pastor Francis. Praise the Lord. And then one day I had to travel to his place in Kogi State because we're looking for fruit of the womb. So anywhere where we could go for prayer, now we'll go. This kind of mighty man. And when he's preaching like this, he had an interpreter in Yoruba. That he will be preaching small time. In so much the story, he begin to preach in tongue. And that man will be interpreting. Oh, my, I said the man packaged himself. Well. And so I was traveling with my wife. When I went there, and he would travel, he was moving from church to church. Every year he would gather churches, many churches, to come together for convention. Let them come and learn from the apostle. The ministers, you learn, he's teaching the ministers. You know, for about 1 week, only him will be ministering. Only him will be ministering. Only him. Come and learn. Apostle. And then, before you know what, I went to visit him. Where we went, it was one shop. That's his church. All of us that attended service that day, we were about 15 of us. The capacity of that place may be up to 20 people. Apostle. So I told my wife, I said, Bill, I said, somebody they play on our sense here. I came back, I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, that might not be apostle. That might not be apostle. Something is going on. Ah, Brother Moses, why do you say so? I said, before you go and say something in order, there is a pattern you have put in place now. There's a pattern you have put in place that you are now going to set things in order somewhere so that they will be like your own. I said, this man not get church. Even his street, where that church is, they don't know him. Amen. Apostle Paul was not like that. When I came and I said it, that's to tell you the spirit. Apostle Paul, when they were challenging his calling, he boasted. He said, you here, you are evidence of my ministry. Uh-huh. So I was telling him, show me evidence of your ministry. Hallelujah. Our pastor went to tell him, see what Brother Moses is saying. Now that time, the man began to come up from me. They come up, you know, come stay for my house again. When he come, because I say he's not an apostle. Some of you only know me as a pastor. You didn't know me when I was church member. Nobody will play with my eternal destination because you hold Bible. Nobody died for me. So nobody can just say, make I follow. Before I follow, I must understand. If I don't understand, I don't follow. Praise the Lord. And I'm not afraid of any man. No man. You should not be afraid of anybody. When you see me doing anything wrong, if you fear me, then something is wrong with you. You are bewitched. You are bewitched yourself. That's why we are talking about life and death. I'm going to a medical doctor to do surgery on you when he does not know anything about the anatomy of human being. He'll kill you. I don't want to die spiritually. Told my pastor, anytime he will come, he will preach. Then when we ask some questions, when I ask some questions, he go vex. This man, he thinks that he won't scare me. Who sent this note? Who sent this note? Anyway, I don't have time for this. See me after. I went to his office. I said, why didn't you answer my question at the pulpit? He said, if you have any question, come and ask me. I said, but you made that mistake at the pulpit. Now you will correct it for me here in your office. What of the other people? Then he said, but you want to talk? I said, listen, the books you people read, we too, we they read them. The man opened his mouth, they look at me like this. So don't talk to me as if you only you can read. I mean, too, I go to school, I can read. I know what I'm looking for when I come and join any church. And when it was time to leave that church, I didn't think twice. I went to the pastor with his associate pastor. I said, hey, last Sunday is the last time you people see me and my family in the church. He said, what? I said, I discovered that my spiritual life is not moving forward. Ah, but see, I said, no, but I discovered you have tried your best. Pastor, you try. But I think my case passes your level. Nothing there. Some people want to leave their church, they'll be afraid. What are you afraid of? I've given this example several times. That is the same man. Everybody, my wife knows who I'm talking about. He was my pastor for 5 years after I left the prison. That became my church. I say he will stay. And then everybody was scared of this man. And then every day I was busy studying. What did make them fear this man? Why did they fear him? So purposely I will do something to provoke him. Make us see, maybe get something where he do for person. Nothing. He came to collect something from somebody in my office one day. And I was in a reception with my secretary, small time. Everybody was shouting, pastor's coming, pastor. So I was so embarrassed. I said, what is it? They sit down where? Check their clothes where? This one where? So I walked back to my office. He came, saw the person he wanted to see, and just wanted to say hello to me before he left. I said, sir, come sit down, sir. I want to tell you something. I said, sir, when you were parking your car, everybody in my office saw you because everybody, they were all members of that church. I said, immediately they saw you, they rushed. They were checking their dress. They were doing this. I said, what is happening? They said, you are coming. I said, sir, I hope you don't mind what I want to tell you. I said, if all you succeed in your ministry is to raise men to fear you instead of fearing God, you have failed in your ministry. Tell you now, that was a member. Now member I be. How can people fear you? So when you are around, they do the right thing. Amen. Create an atmosphere so that you will know who everybody is. Like I create here. You see? I create here for everybody to show who you be. If not, how will I know your level of conversion? Praise the Lord. So we have established it is Apostle Paul by these characteristics. We know he is the star messenger. Now, let's also see why the peculiarity, why God chose that church in Ephesus. And I have about one page or so. I will read from the comment William Branham passed concerning that church. It is a theological fact, but let me not miss out anything by reading it. And it is in the Exposition of the Seven Church Ages, page 76 and page 77. This is a comment. Please listen carefully. If you have the book, go and take time and read it from page 76. The city of Ephesus. That is where the church was located. See the peculiarity of that city now. The city of Ephesus was one of the three greatest cities of Asia. It was often called the third city of Christian faith, with Jerusalem first and Antioch second. It was a very rich city. The government was Roman, but the language was Greek. Historians believe that John, Mary, Peter, Andrew, and Philip were all buried in this beautiful city. Paul, who founded the true faith in this city, pastored here only about 3 years. But when he was absent from the flock, he was continually prayerfully mindful of them. Timothy was his first bishop, as we see in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, where he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. That is how we know that Timothy was the first pastor of that church after Paul left. The very name Ephesus has a strange compound meaning. The meaning of Ephesus, it means, why you say it's strange, is that it means, there's a compound name. It means aimed at and relaxed. That is the meaning of Ephesus. You aim to achieve something, then you relax again. So you know God is speaking something. That's why he picked that city that was bearing that name. The high aspirations of this age that have begun with the fullness of the Spirit, the depth of God, whereby they were aiming at the high calling of God, began to give way to a less watchful attitude. A less ardent following of Jesus Christ began to manifest itself as an omen that in the future ages, the physical vehicle called the church will sink to the awfulness of the depth of Satan. It had become relaxed and was drifting. Already, the age was backsliding. It had left its first love. The tiny seed planted in that efficient age will one day grow in the spirit of error until all foul birds of the air will roost in its branches. So inoffensive to human reasoning would that little plant appear to that new Eve, the new church, that again should be deceived by Satan. The Ephesian age had presented to her the opportunity for God's best, and for a while she prevailed and then relaxed. And in that unguarded moment, Satan planted the seed of complete reunion. The very religion of Ephesus, the religion of Ephesus, types out perfectly this first church age and sets the tenor of the ages to come. In the first place, in that city now, the magnificent temple of Diana that was so many years in building, housed in its sacred courts, the most lustless and unobtrusive image of Diana that one could imagine. She was absolutely unlike any other of her images seated in the other temples dedicated to her. She was simply an almost shapeless female figure that finally sunk into the block of wood from which she was carved. And her two arms were formed of two simple bars of iron. How perfectly this depicts the spirit of Antichrist loose in the first age. There he was loose in the midst of the people and yet took no shame, no shape as to alarm the people. Yet the two arms of iron bars showed that it was his intent to crush the work of God as he made his inroads. And no one seemed to notice him or what he was doing. But one day they would notice, when with those arms of iron, his deeds became doctrine, and his doctrine became the law of an empire. The order of temple service is also very revealing. There were, first of all, in that hidden temple in Ephesus, That is where the church was located. There were first of all priests who were eunuchs. This terror priesthood, it presaged the sterility of a people who will drift from the world. For a people who claim to know God apart from the word, anybody that claim you know God apart from the word of God, are a barren. They were as barren of life as is a sterile eunuch. Secondly, the temple had within its confines the virgin priestesses who performed the religious acts of the temple. I am speaking something that is the identity of the hidden form of worship in that city where the church was located. And that city was going to form something that the Ephesian church age, it will reflect. And here in that place, there is a woman there that they molded an image called Diana. And in the temple there, they had eunuch as priests. Not in the church, or in that city. And then they had women also, priestesses, who what we know today as eunuch. The priest there, the name today is Reverend Father. They are trying to tell you where the root of what you see in Christianity today started. Secondly, the temple had within its confines the virgin priestesses who performed the religious acts of the temple. This showed forth the day, the show forth the day that ceremony and form, ritual and works will take the place of the Holy Spirit, and no longer will charismatic manifestation fill the temple of God. Over them all was the high priest, a man of political power and public influence, Pope. I'm reading something so that you catch a picture. I'm just dropping something so that you will know, you will follow. Over them all was a high priest, a man of political power and public influence, portraying what was already in progress, though not too manifested. That is, the church will soon be given over to the leadership of man with man's plans and man's ambitions, and thus said the Holy Ghost will no longer be a living reality. And underneath them all were the temple slaves who had no choice but obedience to the religious hierarchy. What can this mean? But the day will come when the vested clergy, by political maneuvering, and the state help, and the substitution of word and spirit for creeds, dogmas, and human leadership, will enslave the laity while the leaders luxuriated in ill-gotten wealth and enjoyed their filthy pleasures, and the poor people who were to be served according to God now became the servants. That was a picture of what was going on presently at that time in that hidden city called Ephesus. The religion that was practiced in that city was a reflection of what agenda Satan had. The same thing will be replicated in the church. And what we see today in Christianity, take note. Hallelujah. The picture we see in the first church age, hallelujah, it only grew to the next church age. It was not removed. Anything you see, Apostle Paul said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In his own time, it started. By the time it gets to the seventh church age, it had taken complete control. So it didn't end with the passage of that age. It was only rooted to move again to the next church age. To move again, you can see, in the Ephesian church age, that is where we see the form of worship that is going on, particularly in the Catholic church system today. It is a replica of what was going on in the hidden Ephesus. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that age of the Ephesian church age, it began, according to church history, from AD 53 to AD 170. That is the period that age lasted. That's the period that age lasted. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 of Revelation chapter 2. He said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. That means that church started hot. Their works and their labors and their patience. And you talk of patience, that means in the battle that they were facing and they were fighting, hallelujah, they were facing real persecution, and yet they were taking everything patiently. They were known for patience. And always know that that is also a picture of every single individual believer. When you give your life to Christ, the same way Satan attacks the church corporate is the same way he attacks the individual. Until by the time he finishes with you, they will only know you by history. You yourself, you will only be making reference to yourself by history. Oh, I remember when I gave my life to Christ. Oh, I remember how I turned everywhere upside down. That was the condition in Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. That was also the condition of that church age. When the revival fires were released, everywhere, they turned everywhere they went, they turned everywhere upside down. And it attracted persecutions. It attracted all manner of perils that they were going through. But they were, nothing stopped them. But Satan knows better. Where are you now in your spiritual estate? Where is the church now in her spiritual essence? It's only history. If you are sincere, you will know. And you need to do this. Take note of this so that you can wake up. What happened to the fire you received when you gave your life to Christ? Something happened. An agenda happened. Every day, I'll be sitting down. Every day. When I say every day, I mean every time I sit down. I'll be saying, only God knows the assignment that Satan is doing now for Bride Assembly. Only God knows now. Then when I finish, I will say, oh Lord, let him not succeed. But it is not just by prayer. It's a watch. You don't only pray. How can you pray when you don't watch? Isn't it what you see by watching that will enable you to pray? How many watch? What do you watch? How was I spiritually? What am I now? What made you to stop wearing earring, wearing trousers, and palming your hair when you gave your life to Christ? What happened to you? Why are you going back to it again? It's an assignment Satan had on you and you didn't know when he took over. That is the same way he entered the church. He entered the church. Praise the Lord. And one of the things they faced was people who claimed that they are apostles. And listen, it's not just that you claim the title of an apostle. What he's saying is that they were claiming leadership of the church, claiming and attracting followership to themselves. And with what did they use to try them to know whether they are apostles or not? It was the writings and the teachings of Apostle Paul. Because Apostle Paul was the first apostle. Everybody acknowledged it. So anybody that will come, anything you teach, contrary to what Apostle Paul preached, you are not an apostle. That's why here in the entire message today, we reject them. And it is an agenda. It's a satanic agenda. You want people to follow you. Why? Where are you taking them to? And if you refuse to follow them, they fight you. No servant of God will force people to follow him. No true prophet will be angry because you refuse to accept his prophecy. Because it's not his own. He said, "Thus said the Lord, so when it concerns me, if you reject it, that the person will send me, as I hear and I tell you, not be me to come. But if not me to come, I will say it because I have a motive. And if you want to destroy that motive, I will fight you because you want to scatter the motive why I gave the prophecy." There are very many prophets in this church. More than you know, those that you know. There are prophecies that come, that suddenly people begin to raise to be prophets. I cannot talk that one, teach it. I go talk another day. It's in my mind. I want to expose one spirit in this church. But after. It's a prophetic gift. And they use them, they manipulate. Not from any of our prophets, where you know. There are new people coming up. It's a spirit that is trying to enter here. I know how to put it under the chair. Fight it. I am very watchful. Very, very watchful. Very, very watchful. Don't see people who come. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. I finish this one. I go talk one day. I go talk. I finish this one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They found them to be liars. Verse 3. You are born and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. That is the condition of that church. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? What is it that he has against them? Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Every one of us now, that how you used to be before, you are no more in that level spiritually. God has it against you. So that you can wake up. I said the same way God deals with a church corporate is the same way God deals with you as an individual. The same way devil, Satan does his agenda for the whole church is the same way he does with the Christian individual. So, God has looked at this church in Ephesus and saw that they are not as hot as they used to be before. They have left their first love. What was their first love? Their first love was the type of works. Their labor. Their patience. These days, people have no time again to devote for the things of God. These days, people are now impatient. They think that God is kalokalo. Once I put in now, I must receive answer. No. They will not sow until they are sure. If they sow, they will reap like a local lottery. No. But before, you know how in your former church when you started, you know how you donated your car when you didn't have money for a church project. But now, you have four cars. You can't even give out one. Now one at the top. Offering car. Tell me now, what aspect of the gospel have you taken as your responsibility? But you know how you started. I'm talking to those. I'm not talking to those who have not started at all. Those ones, they have no fire in them. Wait till fire catch them. I'm talking about those where fire catch. And now, like the Ephesian church, they are all dead. Impatience. He said, how you cannot bear them, which were evil. But now, they are your best friends. Where they do gossip, that is where you are among. Where they are talking nonsense, that is where you are. See, who are your friends now? Whether there is anything you people do in that your friendship that builds your spiritual life. Nothing when you come together. Notice now, what do you do now? In your Facebook, what are you doing with your Facebook? Oh no, what are you doing there? Have you devoted any moment of that Facebook to make somebody see your God? Because If you love your what you love is what you talk about. But you know the nonsense you people do. See how many times you do chatting, even as with a preacher. Somebody feel a chat now. Hi. Yeah, how you do, man? I'm in the church. Yeah. And they send again. What do the pastor they preach? I don't understand. Oh, they abuse everybody here now. They talk about stuff. But when you first gave your life to Christ, you were not like that. Oh, you know how many hours you used to pray before? Now you don't have time. Even 20 minutes is too much. And when you read 30 minutes, you beat your chest. I try today. Aren't you ashamed of yourself? Is that how you were before? Amen. You know, I thank God for this age. Technology. God has allowed technology, allowed Satan to use technology to test our spirituality. So that no be person go tell you, you know. You know the time you devote to your spiritual life. And you know also the time you devote to all the nonsense you do that have no bearing with your spiritual life. And yet the Bible says, redeem the time. For the days are evil. Every opportunity you have to do something for your life, do it. Too many attractions. Notice now, when you take your phone, for the last 2 hours, what were you doing with that phone? So that you will know that what I'm saying is the truth. It's the truth. Hallelujah. No, it's true now. Before, when you gave a life to Christ, before the church gate is open, now you reach there first. How come now? Now you come church. See them, they walk out for back. They are just coming to church. See them for back. Look back, see them. Yes, they are just coming to church. But before you gave, when you gave your life to Christ, you know now, you will come here. You will come and sweep everywhere. Do everything. You are walking in your father's house. Everything. And you are doing it happily. As happy as the day that we are pulling down this roof. When I came here, our brothers and sisters, they were walking joyfully. When they said they should wait, everybody wanted to be part of packing wood or packing something. Every day, packing wood and packing everything. They just rushed. When they were watching like this, I was wondering, I was talking small time. I see the blow whistle. I said, what happened? They say, they want to pack. Everybody wanted to carry something. And they were doing it happily. Look at those who will leave their work on Tuesday to come here and be cleaning the environment. I was coming to church on a Tuesday and I saw a brother parked his car and was changing in his car. And I was telling somebody in the car, Pastor Weston, I was saying, you know what that guy is doing? I say, he is going to change to do laborer work in the church. Amen. Amen. That is the estate of that church. Then he said, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and do what? Tell your neighbor, repent. See, if only God can allow what I'm saying now to sink. I'm telling you, this church will move to another level. I'm telling you, that is the truth. You know, we laugh at these people in this church. They will just carry megaphone and they talk. Whether anybody they hear them or not, they hear them. They will just talk. Repent, Operi, repent, repent. These people for this church, they will wear apron. They repent. This one, repent, and they are doing it. See, they believe that is how to work for God. They are doing something. Whether they are doing it correctly or not is another matter. God is judging the motive. Before you judge anybody, be sure you are doing something. You are doing the correct thing. If not, you'll be looked at as one that sits on the seat of the scornful. Praise the Lord. Let me finish reading that verse and we close. He said, repent and do the first works. Or else, and we come unto thee quickly, and we remove the candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And the Ephesian church did not repent. Therefore, that city did not last long. And a city that was turned upside down by Apostle Paul, few years later, that city ended. In fact, now, go and look for where is Ephesus. You see, I'm in the area now, the Muslims full there. Why? He said, you remove the candlestick out of his place. To remove the candlestick there, he removed the light. He removed the revival. He removed whatever they signify spiritually, and they become dead. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. What is the deed of the Nicolaitans? Nicolaitans is from two Greek words, Nikao and Laos. Nikao is to kill. Laos is the laity. There are things that began, since it's all a satanic agenda that began in that age, towards the end of that age, where certain people began to rise up and they began to create hierarchy in the church. They began to create hierarchy and began to apportion themselves, elevate themselves to positions of authority over the laity. Go to a stage now where anything at all, the power that the congregation, the laity had, was totally taken away and rested on the leaders. That is where you had Reverend Doctor, Bishop, Archbishop, very venerable. You know all the hierarchy. And before you know what, the leadership of the Holy Ghost was put aside and men hijacked the church. So all these things you see today about the denominational hierarchies, the organization that you see today, their root was from the Ephesian church age. Until you have no right to the things of God except you go through the high priest and watch how they make the members fear them. And people who are supposed to be servants, to serve the congregation instead became the servants, and the servants became lords. There are things they did to achieve that. Of the Nicolaitans, things that they did to kill the spirituality of the congregation. And today, this is what you see. This is what you see today, the condition of the church. Push the Holy Ghost away. Instead of the word, now they have creeds and dogmas. They have what they call articles of faith, and they build a wall around themselves. We hear, this is what we believe, this is what we believe. Then instead of the Holy Ghost to anoint ministers, they create and produce their own ministers. They appoint them, and then they are responsible to only what they say. You can only see and worship God through the eyes of your GO or the approval of the GO. You do anything other than that, you know what will happen to you. They decide who can prophesy and who cannot prophesy. They decide if, and they begin to promote you and promote you. So you are working very hard so that you will be promoted by man and not by God. They did that by some deliberate actions that reduced the church to what it was today. Deeds of the Nicolaitans. He said, and they hated it. That church age, they hated it. They saw that spirit coming. But how much can you fight? How strong were you when it's a satanic agenda? And then you were no longer on fire. You relaxed. You were not watchful again. And they conquered them. Then, therefore, he said, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches, because it is not only going to be the official church age, all other church ages is the same thing you were supposed to watch out for. And to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Praise the Lord. That is for the overcomers. The tree of life is the Holy Ghost. It's eternal life. You overcome, he will give you eternal life. May we all go back to our first love. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can we stand up? God bless you.